Well, this morning we're continuing to talk about the shining and what it means to shine in the world around us. And really the challenge that we're kind of putting out for summer is not to just kind of go through the motions of faith, but to really declare your intentions towards God. I mean, are you all in, or are you just partially in, kind of a little bit of God and a little bit of the world as well? And you just kind of want to play that. Well, God is saying the summer, and he says all throughout his word that he's a God that says, I want you to be all in. I want you to declare your personal intentions toward me. I declared my intentions towards you. I gave you my son. I let him die an excruciating death to pay the debt for you. I've declared my love and my affection and my desire for fellowship with you. Now it's time for us to declare. Are we willing to become the people that he desires us to become? Because he's called us to be a people that are marked, a people that are set apart for his purpose in this world. And it's an incredible invitation when you start to think about it, that God says, I want you, a believer, somebody who confesses that Jesus Christ is their Savior, I want you to be my face in the world. I want you to represent me here. And I want us to come awake to what that really means and what it really means to shine. We started out in Leviticus chapter 19, verses 1 through 2, and I just want to put that out before you, because it's kind of, if you will, the call and the mark on God's people. God is calling his whole assembly, the people of Israel, to him. And he tells Moses, he says, the Lord said to Moses, speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, be holy because I am holy. The Lord God am holy. God is saying, the reason that you and I are to be holy is because he is holy. Not because that you can measure up, not that you can even achieve this, but he wants us to strive for it through him. And he wants us to be set apart and look different from the world around us. I mean, if you kind of go through Leviticus 19 and 20 and kind of go walk through the laws of Moses, and some people get all hung up and they go, oh, God is just about all the rules. He's just a killjoy. He wants to take the fun out of life. What is God doing? And we have to keep that in mind. What he's doing when he's talking to Israel about not doing this and don't do that or don't do this. He's trying to say that you're a different people. You are a people who are marked by me. And you're to be separate from the world and the culture around you. You're not supposed to mark yourself like the other religions are doing, or you're not supposed to be worshiping on all these false gods. You're not supposed to treat other people the way that they treat them. You're supposed to love one another. You're supposed to be the light to the world, pointing to the one true God. That's what Israel was called to do. And he says, the way that you and I do it still today is to be set apart, to be holy. It's not a bunch of rules and regulations. It's not about legalism. It's about a call for us to be in this relationship with God. And this is what it looks like to shine in the world, to be different for him. And then he later says in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26, he says, you are to be holy. And I know people get very nervous when we hear the word holy, because you think that I'm going to start listing all these things that make you holy. And that's not what we're doing. We're just kind of saying that our goal is to be more like God. We're to be holy. And when I say that, there's this kind of mentality that happens. Either people in the world think, oh, so you think you're holy, you think you're better than us. Or you might even think that yourself, so you think that you're better. That's not what I'm declaring at all. What I'm declaring is that we're no better than the world. We're no different than the world apart from we have salvation through Christ. Apart from Christ, we are nothing. Apart from him, we have no hope at all. And so when I say to be holy, it's a call to be holy because of what he's done for us. Not that I'm just kind of looking down on people and judging the world what they're doing. It's because my God is calling us to a different life. And he says, you are to be holy because I, the Lord, in case you forgot, that's your God, am holy. I have set you apart from the nations to be my own. I mean, God's call from the Old Testament is not done away with. In fact, if you start to look through the New Testament, you will see that Jesus actually amplifies this, that we're to be holy. That we're supposed to be set apart from the world around us. We're not supposed to blur the line, because we like to have this blurred Christianity where we're kind of in the gray areas. And something's happened in the church culture and in the faith of believers is we like the middle ground. But the call is not the middle ground. There is no middle ground with God. It's either be holy, be part of who I am, or you're not part of me. Jesus would say, I am the vine, you are the branches. Right? So in other words, what he's saying, he says, I want you to remain in me. And when you remain in me, you become like me. You represent me. You are a part of me. The calling is still here, but it's said a little bit different all throughout the New Testament. I started out last week kind of talking in this verse in Ephesians chapter 1, just to understand that we've been set apart completely. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you are walking, you are following Him, you have been marked by God. You have a seal that the world can see that there's something different about who you are. And the way that in Ephesians says this, having believed, and this is verse 13, chapter 1, having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of His glory. I mean, we've been marked, we're called out, we're called to be separate from this world. Now, there's something in the Christian walk, there's a lot of people, they don't want to be separate. They want to kind of have a little bit of God and a little bit of the world too. We like this. It feels good. It's not uncomfortable, because then people aren't going to say, oh, they think that they're like religious, or they think that they're holy. I don't want to be that guy. But God says, no, your calling is to be out of this world. You've been marked to be separated. And I didn't realize how unique that is and how special that is until a couple weeks ago. Angie and I were setting up for my son's party, and a couple came in early, and they almost ignored me, which I kind of thought was weird, because Angie's known this couple their whole life. And I kind of go out of my way to, hey, how are you guys doing? And really friendly, but I kind of get this wall, and I'm like going, what is going on? I even asked Angie after the party, why don't they kind of like me? And she says, because you represent God. You represent God to them. And they're convicted when they see you. And that's what it means to shine in this world, isn't it? That not that our words, because I never once said that, oh, you guys are sinners. You guys are evil. Never once said that. But there was something inside of them that could see that the light of Christ, and it convicted them. And that's what it means to shine. Shine in this world that all of a sudden you're shining a light into darkness, and all of a sudden the darkness is exposed because you've been marked, you've been purchased, you've been paid for, and you are holy. You know what, Christians, we are marked by pure light. Did you know that? When you accepted Christ, the pure light of Christ, of the Holy Spirit, was placed inside of you, and now the world sees you, and they are going to criticize you. They are going to see you as threatening, because they like to live in the darkness. If people aren't threatened when we come into a room, and I'm not talking about puffing up threatened, but they don't see that, you know, there's a light in us, then maybe we're not in Christ. Maybe we're in the blurred area. We're not living a life that's holy and set apart for God. Not I'm arrogant, I'm better than everybody else, because these scriptures that we're looking at aren't about the world. The scriptures aren't about what other people are doing. It's about us personally, inside of us, what's going on. And then the scripture that we kind of use to kick off this series, I just want to kind of slow down a little bit and go through it a little bit. And it says this in chapter 2, verse 12. It says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. And Paul's like going, you guys are obeying the word of God. You're living the word of God out, even when I'm not around. And that's kind of the call, that we're living the word of God out wherever we're at. Because there's something in Christianity that's happened, that we think that on Sunday morning we can go, woohoo, God, Jesus, I love the Bible studies, love to worship, and then all of a sudden Monday comes, and then you drop the Christianity, and you put on the world. And you become more like the world than like Christ. I see it all the time. I'm guilty of it in my own walk at times. But I have to be conscious that I need to be obedient to His calling, to be separate, to be holy in this world. Why? Because He's holy. Because through me, when I'm being holy, the world sees the face of God. I mean, that's quite a high call for us. And he said, and then he goes on. He says, but how much more in my absence continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I mean, and in other words, what he's saying, that not to try to work for your salvation. Don't go out and think that you can do a bunch of good deeds and you're going to have salvation. Salvation is freely given from God once you accept it. You have it. But what he's saying, he says, to work out your salvation. He's saying that since something phenomenal happened inside, when you saw Christ for the first time and you've accepted Christ for the first time, you became alive to God spiritually speaking. No longer in a severed relationship. Now you're able to go before Him and have a conversation and fellowship with Him because of Christ that is in you. And he says, so you need to do something. You need to work out your salvation, meaning you need to grow. You need to continue to pursue the holiness of God in your walk, in your journey. Does it mean that you've arrived? Will you ever arrive? No. But that's our ultimate goal, is to become more and more like God. Not on our own, in our own power. We have to get that straight. It's not in our own power. It's by the power of God in us. And we're becoming awake to that spirit that has been placed in us. And we're becoming awakened to the new life. Or to be a light that's shining in the world. And he goes on and he says, this is what I want, what it means to be light. He says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. In other words, God's doing it all. God's making the changes. It's God has an agenda for our lives. And it's to bring Him glory in this world. And He's working that out inside of us. And He says, do everything without complaining or arguing. I mean, could you imagine if we did that? If we didn't complain? I mean, think about how many times you've complained this week. Oh, it's dark in here. Right? Or we have an arguing. We have a disagreement. We like to argue. And then we never resolve that argument. We never give the forgiveness that's needed. We never can just have a conversation because either you got to agree with me or otherwise you're wrong. And then we put up walls and we fight within the body of Christ. And Paul says, you want to be walking in the light? You want to know what it's like to shine? Stop complaining about stuff. Stop arguing. And then he goes, so that you can become blameless. Blameless simply meaning that there's no duplicity. There's nothing wrong. You're not walking in the darkness anymore. And then he says, to be blameless and what? Pure. And those are words that we don't like to hear. I mean, our culture has no use for blameless and pure. Because we'd like to walk this gray walk. We want to walk in the middle where there's not truth. In the middle is there's a little bit of truth, and there's a lot of lies. And we don't like it when all of a sudden somebody comes in and says, "Be blameless and be pure, be holy, because you have a holy God." We don't like that. The culture doesn't like that. Why? Because light is entering into the darkness, and when light enters into the darkness, says Jesus, said that people like the darkness. Because the light exposes their evil deeds. So Jesus says, I want you to be a light here. And I want you to be different. I want you to be pure. I want you to be blameless. Not only that, but you're children of God. Without fault. In a crooked and depraved generation. In which you shine. And I love that. In which you shine. You're in the middle of a dark and broken world. And the world just gets darker and darker and darker and darker. And as it gets darker and darker, what happens is we're supposed to rise up. and be set apart for the glory of God. And we're supposed to shine like stars, it says, in the universe as you hold out the word of life. In other words, we're holding out and we're proclaiming that Jesus Christ is the only way to have life. Jesus Christ is the only way to be redeemed to God. Jesus Christ is the only one that's going to heal the broken. He's the only one. And I'm going to hold that out there. I don't care what culture says. God doesn't care what culture says a Christian should or shouldn't be like. God doesn't care what you think you should be like. What God cares about is that you are shining in this world, living a life that is pure and blameless, pointing to who He is, a holy and righteous God. Therefore, my walk needs to look like that. It's quite a calling, and it can be a difficult calling, but you're like going, well, you know, I'm not sure if I like that or sure if I want to do that. Let me just tell you that it's not an option. It's not like you can just take a vote and say, well, I don't think I want to be holy. I think, God, I prefer to be in the world and have you on Sunday. Because on Sunday, I like to get with my Christian friends and talk about Jesus and worship Jesus. But then, I like to go on Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, and Friday. I like to go partying. I like to engage with the world. I like to kind of have those coarse jokes. And I want to do all these things of the world. And God's going, it's not an option if you're a follower of God. So what's it mean to be somebody that's shining in this world? Well, Paul says it really clear. This is what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1. Be imitators of God, therefore. That's our call. That's the ultimate goal of a Christian's life, is to be an imitator of God. I'm not trying to be better than other people. I'm not trying to be better than the world around me. Because in fact, you know, I can measure myself by worldly standards or by other standards of other individuals, and I always can usually kind of get on top of those things because I always can find somebody that's not quite as good as I am. And God's like, no, that's not the measuring stick. Measuring stick is me. Be imitators of God. That is your purpose. That is your goal in life. He says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. I mean, when you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you are born again. You have the DNA of God placed into your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's been placed there. Now that you're in Him and He's been placed in you, you have to become like the Father. I mean, if some of you have children, and you ever notice how children mimic their parents? Sometimes it's kind of embarrassing, isn't it? Because all of a sudden they say something that you said, and you're like, oh, you can't say that. I mean, I have a grandbaby. I kind of forgot that because now I'm in different stages. And then I might use kind of a word that's a little like a slang word or something, kind of joking with my boys. And then all of a sudden I hear Lyle repeat it, and it's like, oh, you can't say that. That's not cool. Be imitators of God. He's our Father. That's the one who we're supposed to be pursuing and becoming what we look like. And you're like, on Kelly, but that goal is so big. It's discouraging because I know me. I can't be holy. I keep stumbling. I keep falling. There's days I'm not like God. There's days I don't talk like God. I understand that. I have the same issues. There's days that I'm not like God. There's days that I don't talk like God. But that does not stop me from pursuing the ultimate goal. And it does not diminish the fact that that's my purpose in life, is to become like God in this world and to be a light in this world. So I'm shining His glory. That's the ultimate goal. And if I let my mind and I let the world say, why even try? What we do is we take away two things. We take away the holiness of God, and we take away the fact that the holiness of God was placed in you. So we need to wake up, don't we? We need to wake up that we're called to be set apart from this world. And he says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. And of course, I can't help but say that and hear my son when at Christmas time when he was a little kid scream it out, we have a wife of love, okay? But living a life of love, he says, this is what you're supposed to be defined by. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. We're supposed to be defined by our love. We're supposed to be loving one another. We're supposed to be loving our neighbors. We're supposed to be loving the unlovable. We're supposed to be loving the people in the world that are walking in darkness. Not judging them, not tearing them apart, not saying, I can't believe what they're doing, and da-da-da-da-da. No, you look at your own heart first, make sure you're being an imitator of God, and then you show them love. You know, it was the love that people had in the early church that exploded the church. And because they loved one another, they loved God, and they were living a life of love, that they toppled the Roman Empire without a single weapon. Christianity spread like wildfire across Europe. What has happened? How come it's not? Because we're not living a life of love. We're not being imitators of God. We forgot that we're supposed to be a holy people. We're not supposed to be a people that are engaged in the world and culture and being defined by culture. We are supposed to be a light set apart. It's really an alternate lifestyle. Jesus said, you have an alternate lifestyle that's to be different from the world. And then he goes on, he says, just so you know what it looks to be the light in this world, but among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality. Now, we like to kind of, in our culture, especially the Christian culture right now, look at the lifestyle or the alternative lifestyle or the gay lifestyle. We like to look at that. That's what you hear most Christians focused on, arguing about and looking at. But here's what I want to bring us back to. There are a lot of people that say that they are Christians and they have sexually impure lives. Sexual impurity is anything that you're distorting God's perfect image of what it's supposed to be. And that's sex within marriage only. There's a lot of Christians who have accepted that it's okay to live together. It's okay to have sex outside of marriage. It's okay to live like the world and just blur it all together. It's okay to get on your computer and look at pornography because you're just looking at it to express yourself. Or it's okay to post these crude videos. It's okay. That's all sexual immorality. It's the whole picture, people. We can't just narrow it down to say we don't like this. It's the whole thing. To be the people of God, we got to understand that he says, don't even let a hint of sexual immorality. People think it's okay to have affairs in marriage. In the church, Jesus would be very disappointed. He would say, you're not remaining in me. You're not becoming a holy people. You're becoming more like the world. There's no blurred lines with God. There's no gray with God. I'm tired of people saying, well, that's a gray area. No, it's not. There's no gray area. He makes it really clear. No hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity. Any kind of impurity. You can start listing those. Or of greed. Now, a lot of times we focus on greed, like maybe money, like I like to hoard money, I don't want to give it away. What about your time? You don't want to serve God, you don't want to take time to be part of the church because it's just a nuisance, it's something else to keep you busy. We're greedy with ourself and our time and our relationships. He says, don't let greed be any part of you because these are improper for what? God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. In other words, you can't just have Sunday morning worship and then go home and then just start taking part in the world. Just because you go to work doesn't mean you need to take part in those conversations. Just because you go to work and there's a magazine there that you shouldn't be looking at, that you look at it because you're in the world. It means that you're different. And instead of taking part in all these things, the foolish talk where we gossip, where we make fun of people, we tear them down. We never can see the great qualities in them. We just tear them down and criticize them. So start being thankful. Thankful for God. Thankful for your family. Thankful for people around you. Thankful that God has done something inside of you and revealed to you who Jesus Christ is. That's what we should be defined by. And then he goes on in verse 5. For of this you can be sure. No immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Don't be part of the world. Yes, you're in the world, but don't let the world define who you are. You've already been defined by God as holy and set apart child of God. He said, let that be your definition. Shine in this world. Don't let somebody deceive you who can talk with wisdom or smooth words and kind of blur the line. There's a lot of blurring going on right now. Know the Word of God. Know what God would do. Know what God would see. Know what would break God's heart. Know those things. And then live that life based on what you know about God. And then he goes on and then he says, here's a light that's marked by light. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. I mean, you, all of us were once in darkness, meaning you didn't know who Jesus Christ was. You were prone to the ways of this world and sin was defined who you are. You had no hope. You had no freedom. You had no life. You had no victory. You were in darkness. He said, you once were there, but now you are light in the Lord. In other words, as soon as you've had this awakening in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Savior, that you're light now. You're not dark. You're light. And then he says, live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. And I love that. I love that last verse. Find out what pleases God. In other words, it's a journey. It's something that as you're walking in your faith, you're growing more and more and more, and you're starting to become in tune to the Holy Spirit that's been placed in you, and all of a sudden you're starting to say that this is darkness, this is light. This is something I can participate in, this is gray, stay away from. Because you're learning what pleases God. And that's a lifetime. Nobody's ever going to be there. Don't be discouraged when you fall. Don't be discouraged if you get led away from temptation. It happens. Always come back, repent, and God is faithful. He forgives. And then he'll continue to shine light and give you the strength to overcome. But you got to be pursuing it. It's a choice to pursue. He says you were in darkness. I love how Colossians says it. You were in darkness, but you've been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. You've been transferred. He continues and he says, have nothing to do, and I think this is real clear, nothing to do with fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. Paul's like going, if you're a child of light, don't even talk about what's going on in the world and how dark the world is. Don't talk about that dark cave that person's in. Don't talk about that stuff that they're doing over there. Because it's so dark and it's so polluting to the soul. Just have no part of it because you're a holy people. And I want you to focus on the holy things of God. Who he is, what he does, how to live in this world. You see, with God, God says there's no blurred lines anymore. There's no gray areas. Sometimes we use Christian freedom too loosely, so we get a gray area. God says there's either darkness or there's light. It's your choice. What are you going to walk in? I placed my light in you. Are you going to walk in light or are you going to continue in darkness? Because if you continue in darkness, you stumble around and you keep falling and stumbling because you can't see. But you walk in light, you can see clearly because God lights up the path, lights up the hurdles before you, and keeps you directed in his direction. And Paul goes on and he says, But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And that's really kind of my prayer and my hope as we go through the series, is that we start to have some people waking up. Waking up to the fact that you have light in you. And it is your purpose, it is your responsibility, it is your obligation to become holy people. Pursuing what God pursues. It is our obligation, because of what He's done for us, to become a light in this world, shining forth, and we're shining not on us, we're shining on Him for the praise of His glory, so people can see His face in a dark and depraved world. When we're in the blurred and grayed, guess what? People can't see God. All they see is somebody that might go to church on Sunday, but their life does not match up with what they confess. And God says, I don't want that. You're children of light. And light is in you. Light is something that illuminates the path before you. Light is something that pushes back the darkness. I like the one definition I read, is that light displaces darkness. That's powerful to think about. That's you in this dark and depraved world for the praise of God's glory. Without light, nobody can see what's going on. Without light, people can't find who God is. And God says, I'm calling you to be my light wherever you find yourself. At your work, at your home, in the schools, at your jobs, wherever you find yourself, I'm calling you to be light. There's this theme all throughout Scripture. God started it out in the beginning, and He said that the world was formless, or it was dark. And then He spoke, and then there was light. All throughout Scripture, you can kind of see this theme. Light coming in and darkness being displaced. This is what Jesus said about Himself. When Jesus spoke, and this is at John 8:12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, I am the light of the world. I love the clarity of that. Jesus saying is that there's people that are walking around in darkness. There are people that are stumbling. There are people that are dying. There are people that are hurting and broken. But I have come into the world, and I am the light that exposes all of those things. And I am the light that brings hope. I am the light that restores. I am the light that gives redemption. I am the light. I am the hope of the world. He says, this is how clear I want people to know that I displaced the darkness when I came. He says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, that means that you're living in Him, you're obeying His word, you're trying to become more and more like Him. Whoever follows me will never, what? Walk in darkness. Just let that sink in for just a moment. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. In other words, it won't be just a, you know, whoever follows me reads the Bible, whoever follows me goes to church, or whoever follows me is going to listen to a certain type of music. But no, whoever is devoting their life to me and giving of their whole being to me and pursuing me, following after my teachings and becoming holy in this world, they're never going to walk in darkness. Not to people that are just playing with Christianity. He says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have, and this is like take possession of, the light of life. See, there's always, every time you have light, darkness is always displaced. So how do you get the light? 2 Corinthians tells us really clear. Chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, that same God is the one that we're talking about, made His light shine in our hearts. In other words, you couldn't do anything. You couldn't pray enough. You couldn't do enough good deeds. You couldn't have been pursuing God. It was God pursuing you, and God shining His light into your heart. Awakening your heart to this new life that you're alive to God and you're dead to the world. No more is the world are defining us, but God is defining us. He said, made his light shine in our hearts, the light to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Simply put, God initiates this whole thing. And all we have to do is accept and become the children of God. And that's a choice. A choice to shine in this world that is dark and depraved and broken, holding out the word of life. And we're shining like what? Stars in the universe. That's like we're super bright. I don't know what's happened in Christianity though. Something's happened where we're ashamed. We're ashamed to stand out. We're ashamed to even speak to our friends about who Jesus is. We're afraid that maybe we're going to be persecuted by the world. Maybe somebody's going to ridicule you and say, oh, you're one of those Jesus freaks. You know what? Jesus says this about us in Matthew. He says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. He says, I am the light of the world, but then he's done something. He's placed his spirit in us, and now we become the light of the world. Meaning that no more darkness is in us. No more just Sunday do I just say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But it's every moment of my life, every place I find myself, I'm doing something. I'm shining so that people will see the face of God. You know what the miracle of the gospel is? Not heaven when you die. The miracle of the gospel is that you're alive to God and that God has placed his light in you. And after it's in you, it shines through you. That's the miracle of the gospel. No more darkness in us because of the power of Christ in us. He says, you are the light of the world. No more just kind of letting, you know, God be defined by Sundays, but letting God into every aspect of your life. Jesus is saying simply, wake up. Wake up, you sleeper. Stop playing games with God. Are you all in or not? What does your life really look like? Jesus goes on, he says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. And you know, if you've ever been in a place where it's super, super dark, it's amazing how you can see a city off in the distance. You can't hide a city. Even in their day, all they had were little teeny lamps. And they would light those lamps and they would illuminate their houses, but the whole city would be illuminated by these lamps. And people, when it was utterly dark, because there was no dark, there was no lights, street lights, there was no lights on the sides of the house, they would see the city. You can't hide that city. And Jesus says, that's what you're supposed to be like. Not hiding in this world, but living a life so powerfully for God that people are going, whoa, there's a light. There's something different there. He goes on, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. You know, in their days, you know, what they would have had to do is they would have had to find a lamp, and they would have loved to have one of these. You know, they would have had to light something. And Jesus is saying that, you know, at night, when night comes, you don't light a lamp just for the sake of lighting a lamp, right? He says you light a lamp so that the light can be exposed throughout the whole room. Even with the lights off, I can see most everybody, even though we have these other lights, but I can see you very clearly. And he says you don't light a lamp and then you hide it, do you? So that people don't see it. And here's what we do as Christians. On Sunday we go, hallelujah, Jesus. I love the Bible. I love God. Monday, I'm with my friends. Tuesday, oh, wait. Oh, Jesus, no, wait. I got to go to this party. Oh, wait, I mean, I like to gossip, so I'm with this crowd, so let's keep it hidden. Oh, Sunday comes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, now I'm with my non-Christian friends. The Christian friends, on off. This is what we do. And Jesus is saying, who would do that? Who would light a candle, place it under a bowl? No, you light the candle and you set it out in the center of the room. And can I just say this really plainly? In here, we don't need the light of Christ. The light of Christ is already here. He is here full on. Where we need the lights is in your homes, in the middle of your workplaces, in the middle of culture. That's where the light, the lamps are supposed to be shining the brightest. Not under a bowl. And then Sunday, hallelujah. It's our whole life like this, shining bright for Christ in this world. And Jesus says, you wouldn't do that. I mean, you've been awoke to something that's great and powerful. Are you crazy? Why would you not let people know that there is a Savior in this world that loves you, that has redeemed you, that's offering something greater than this world? Don't be nuts. Don't hide it. Go out. In the same way, let your light shine before men for the glory of God. So that way God can use you to actually show people his face. That's an incredible thing that God wants to do through us. And I'm just going to close with this. The scripture kind of rounds us out and brings us full circle. In 1 Peter it says, therefore prepare your minds for action. Be self-control. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you, and he's about to quote Leviticus, is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from an empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. A lamb that was holy. And if our lamb was holy and paid the sacrifice for us, how much more should we be trying and striving to have a holy and pure life for him in this world? So we can shine the glory of God in this place. Not the church, but in the world. There's a song that keeps going on in my mind, and some of you will know it, some of you will start dating me. It's called Shine from the Newsboys, and it's not the Newsboys with Tate, it's the old Newsboys. And I haven't been able to get this song out of my head. All week long, wherever I went, was this chorus. Make them wonder what you've got. Make them wish that they were not. On the outside looking bored, shine. Let it shine before all men. Let them see good works, and then let them glorify the Lord. The call is to shine and do good things for him, not for our glory, but so people see the glory of God in us and they're exposed to the truth and the light of Jesus Christ. So what's keeping you from shining? Have you bought into the lie that you can be in darkness and you can be in light? Have you bought into the blurred view of a lot of Christian preaching? I think God is crystal clear here. Be holy. Why? Because I am holy. He's a holy God. And we should pursue and be imitators of him in this world. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, and God, it's a tough challenge to think about to be in pure, to be holy, to be righteous. But God, that is the call that you've put on our lives. I would ask, Lord, that you would wake us up. Wake us up to the truth that you're calling us to be children of light, exposing the deeds of the darkness in this world, shining your face wherever we go. God, help us to be unashamed. Help us to be bold because of what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a message from Gaines Church in Caledonia, Michigan. We'd love to have you join us at one of our Sunday services. Visit GainesChurch.org for more information. One life, one hope, one destination.